I do feel that this year is going to be a year of wisdom like no other year. And I feel like that's going to be the word that's going to really, you know, Sophia, the Greek word for wisdom. So it's going to be Sophia's year. It's going to be a good year. And the scripture I want to give you is from 1 Corinthians 22, 1, 22 through 24. And I'd like to read it to you. It says, "For the Jews demand signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But, everybody say, but. That means what he just said, there's something else we need to focus on. But we, the church, God's people, preach Christ crucified. Stumbling block to the Jews." So that's the opposite of their signs and wonders. That's the opposite, stumbling. "And folly," which is the opposite of wisdom. So what we preach is the opposite of what the world has. Not wisdom and not power. See, it says stumbling block. "For those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power," everybody say power, "of God and wisdom of God." So there's a wisdom that God has that is not like the wisdom you were raised with. And part of being a Christian is learning how to have wisdom that's from God and not wisdom from your mama. They have got some wisdom and you got to pay attention, okay? But it's not the wisdom from God. God has to impart to you wisdom. And sometimes it does come through your mom and grandma. I was talking to one of our employees, and her grandma loved Jesus, and she would quote her grandma, and her grandma was right on in so many ways. But you don't get this from the world, okay? So now I want you to look at Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to lay out some wisdom, and we're going to talk a lot about wisdom this year. I'm writing a book. One of my goals, those of you that have been here a long time, remember a guy named Jim Newman. Jim Newman, okay. Jim used to work with Ronnie, the print shop up there in Bassett. And one of the very first prophetic words I got after I moved down here back in the Stone Age, that's when Martinsville, you know, you had to push your own buggies and, you know, horse-drawn carriages. No, it wasn't that long ago. But, yes, it was popping. Yeah, the uptown was popping with stuff. But Jim Newman gave me a word. He said, "You're going to write a book, John. God wants you to write a book." Now, I got that when I was like in my 20s. I have yet to write a book. But I'm writing a book this year. I started writing a book last year, this 2018. So I actually started doing something that was promised to me when I was in my 20s. It's like 40 years ago, almost. So that's amazing to me. Maybe it took me that long to have something to say, Vincent. What do you think? If that's what it is? Yeah. But God said through Jim, I never forgot that. It was in David Hundley's dining room, because that's where we used to have church back then in the 812 Hazelwood Lane. Actually, it's Dr. Marshall's house. So, any case, so here's a promise that I had that was given to me a long time ago, and I'm excited because I'm actually doing it. Amen. Doing it. Amen. And it's going to be finished this year. It's going to be finished. I know this is the season. So we're going to look at Daniel, and I want to talk to you about wisdom and how wisdom is going to play in this generation. I feel like for our time and our season, wisdom is way more important than it's like God just says, this is what you've got to walk in, or you will not make it. You won't make it. What you used to get away with is not going to, you're not going to get away with it. You really need this wisdom from God, or you are not going to make it because you're going to be deceived.
Yes, that's right.
And we're going to talk about that more. But, you know, as you come to the day of the Lord, the deception level is going to rise. And we've already seen that. How many of you know this year? I mean, we've seen it for a couple of years now, but the term fake news appeared on the scene, right? Right? It got a name. It wasn't that it wasn't there, but it got named. Like never before. Never before. And with our current technology now, it is more possible to manipulate and create lies and make it more convincing than ever in the history of man. I'm sorry. It used to be that snake oil salesmen would come to your town on a horse or a cart, and they'd set up their little shop, and they'd try to see. You ever see that in the movies, little snake oil salesman trying to get people to buy stuff? But now it's not a guy on a horse, or it's a guy driving in a car, opening his trunk up, trying to sell you something out of the back of his truck. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like on your phones, your computers, your television, everything. And it's all the time. So as far as wisdom, so I just thought what we do today is we look at three or four scriptures, and I'm just going to kind of start the process today. Because I really wanted to give you all time to just be thankful to God for the year 2018. It's been an awesome year. Okay, so we're going to start from Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to just go through it, and I'm going to work through some parts about it so we can really understand what God is saying. Because I just thought this is one of the best places to learn about it. So here we have in verse 1, and I'm just going to read it. So we're going to read the Bible together. Is that okay? Amen. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, or Babylon, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels, or the cups and the saucers and all the stuff they did, stuff with the worship in the temple, in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, the chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility. Look here in verse 4. Here's where I want to focus on. Young people without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans, or what we call the Babylonians. So here we have, first of all, almost an oxymoron right here. You have young people and wisdom. Right? That's usually not the case, is it? Usually a young person, the younger they are, the less they don't know, right? And then the older you get, the common image of a young person and an old person in our culture is the older you are, the smarter you get, hopefully. And a young person is usually someone that needs to be taught or go to school. And now in America, you're told that you can't just go to school for 12, whatever, how many years, 12th grade. But no, you've got to get more education. You got to go 4 years and at least more. And after that, you got to go online, right? And get more education. And there are some people in this room I know are still paying off their college loans. Right? So it's all about education when you're young, isn't it? And here they were, young people, but it says here that these young people had wisdom. So that got my attention right off the bat. And I want you to see that wisdom has many words to describe it. And I want the Lord right now to open your eyes and be more sensitive to wisdom words. Can you say amen to that? There are wisdom words in the Bible that you will miss if you don't know what they are. So when you read the scripture, you hear the word of God and you go, wisdom word, praise God. Do you know there's more than one wisdom word in there? Many of them. All right, the first, skillful. Skillful is a wisdom word. That's something you get from God. It's the ability to do something successfully. Amen. Or another word that they use for it is prudence. Prudence. Prudence is not somebody who's a prude. Prudence is somebody who can do it right. They have a skill to what they do. When you put a pen in their hand, or a paintbrush in their hand, or a tool in their hand, or a musical instrument in their hand, or whatever it is, whether it's a money, you put money in their hand, they know what to be successful with. They know how to handle it properly. And how many of you know, you can meet somebody, that person has a gift for, they're good with it. Somebody who's good with money, you know them right away, boy. They know what to do with it. And you know if you don't have a gift for money, what it happens, right? It's just like it just disappears. There's some people that just, there could be asleep in their making, they know how to make money. It's amazing. Some people, they're just amazing with it. Just like music. You know, people just, you put a music, there are people we know, and they're probably in this room here, you put any musical instrument in their hand, Leonard Jones, best friend of Vincent, any musical instrument, doesn't matter if they've ever seen it before, put it in their hands, and within seconds, they're making music with it. They just know what to do. It's a skill. It's prudence. All right, then the word wisdom, okay, is that word. And then the word endowed. You know what that word endowed is? Yada in Hebrew, which is where we get the word to know from experience. And that's the word that we all studied years ago when we studied on intercession. Remember the Dutch Sheets course that we took on intercession here? And it was all about yada, which means to know the Lord experientially. Amen. To have an experience. Adam knew Eve. Adam yada Eve. He knew her. But he just didn't look at her. There was a relationship there. See? There was a joining together. And so here you have the word yada, which is the word to know through personal experience. That's a wisdom word. It's a wisdom word. You know somebody that knows something, but they really don't know it. They got head knowledge, but they really don't know what they're talking about. They're just BSing you to the moon. Come on now. You've talked to people like that, that act like they know all that. One of the funniest things I always say, everybody knows how to ride a horse until you put them on one. Right, Yvonne and Ted? And then you see all kinds of fun stuff happen. It is so true. Oh, I can ride that horse. Oh, yeah? Let's try it. Then they get some knowledge. That knowledge is a wisdom word. That's the next word in here. Look at these seven wisdom words in this one scripture. Right? Understanding is a wisdom word. Bayin, it's Hebrew. Learning, they had learning. Right? Learning, understanding, learning, and competent. Competent means to be strong. It's a strength in the ability to do something. And then you teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So you have all these wisdom words that have to do with learning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to keep rolling. Now, power to stand in the king's palace. What I want to tell you today, very important, is that wisdom opens the door for you to be in the king's palace and be at home. Now, this is a very, very important theme in the scriptures from actually Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the very beginning of the scripture, the concept of being in the courts of the king or the palace of the king or the residence of the king. Wisdom is what gets you in and what keeps you there. Because there's one thing you will not have in the palace of a king is a fool. Amen. They just won't hang because the people will know them and out the door you go. Amen. Okay, so there's this concept in the scripture that God will only tolerate certain people in his house. It's the truth. You want to get in the courts of the king? You need wisdom. And God is willing to give it to you, and he wants to give it to you. But that's the only thing that will get you there. Not money. Not strength. It's wisdom that gets you in the king's palace. And we'll see more about that as we go on. Okay? Wisdom. Now, here's the thing. God called them to have a greater wisdom than the Babylonians. So every one of us in this room right here has wisdom available to us that is beyond anybody who doesn't know the Lord. Now, this is true, and I'll tell you why. I'll just give you a perfect example. I grew up in a house of geeky people. I mean, my dad. My dad wore pocket protector his whole life, just about. Okay? He was an engineer. It's who he was. It's just who he was. All right? So I know what that's like. So, you know, he read stuff that most people thought was in another language when it was just merely scientific stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking, Dad, can you interpret the tongues? I didn't know tongues like that. But, you know, please interpret this for me. You know, tell me what the truth is here. So, but you can immediately tell that there are people who are very, very smart. I call it scary smart. But they could be very, very smart and not have God's wisdom. And so they say the stupidest things. And really, in our day, we have actually seen these people promoted. You know, these great physicists and people like that who make these incredible statements, incredibly smart people who make the stupidest statements about things, because that kind of wisdom is not human wisdom. And it's not taught by just reading a book. And it's not taught by studying, and it's not taught by, even if you have a photographic memory. We had a president in the 90s, President Clinton, photographic memory. He didn't have to work in college. You know, I mean, I know people like this. I know people in school, they would go to college, they never studied. Why? Because they just looked at something and instantly memorized it. It is disgusting. Then people work really hard. And the hard workers, they're like, you know, they have to work hard and spend hours. And then a guy just walks in knowing he hadn't studied. And he aces everything because of that. It's just it's a gift of intelligence. But here's the point I'm trying to make, is that even with that, as impressive as that is, it will not get you in the king's palace. Because you can't, it's not that kind of wisdom. Because we have Christ in him crucified, and it's Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. Amen. That we need. So I wanted you to see this part in Daniel, and I'm just going to kind of wrap this up here real quick here, because, and by the way, I encourage everybody to learn the names. We always know Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but those are the Babylonian names. Their real names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So we know Daniel by his Hebrew name, but the other three guys, for some reason, can anybody know any of those names by heart? I couldn't. I always remember them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian name. And then and Belteshazzar, you know, like, you know, give me that one. Forget that. Okay, now look at verse 8, and then I'm going to... Let's go to verse 8. He says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Now, I believe that verse 8 can be seen as Daniel's determination, even though I'm in a king's palace that's not God's palace, I will not be defiled by the wisdom of the world. And the food and wine represent everything the world has to offer. And once you make your decision, I ain't going to do this. I'm just not going to do it. You're not going to do it. But you have to make a decision. I will not be defiled. I am not going to eat the king's food. And I'm going to be a vegetarian. Now, you know the man was dying for Christ if he became a vegetarian. You know what I mean? Yeah, he sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice. But for that season, he was not going to eat the king's meat. And he wasn't going to drink the king's drink. Even though that was the upper crust food. Just think about it. Think about going to the best restaurant, your favorite restaurant, for the entire your entire life. And he turned it down. I'm not going to eat that really good stuff. Lamb kebabs. Whatever your favorite. I mean, the most thing that you would never cook at home, right? Because it's just too much money and too much time to make and too hard to make. And he said, no, I am not eating in the king's palace what they eat. I'm going to go eat like a servant. I'm going to eat what the servants eat in the back kitchen. I am not going to eat what they serve on the master's table. This is very big. And guess what happened? They looked great after they had a 10-day test. And after eating the 10-day test, they looked fatter. Sorry, guys. And they looked shinier. All right, now look here. Look at verse 17. As for these four youths, God did something amazing. It says God gave them. Everybody say, gave them. God gave them the learning and the skill. God gave it to them. They did not work for it in the sense that they grabbed the right books. Come on now. You buy my book and you'll be rich and famous. Buy my book and you'll lose 100 pounds. Buy my book, you know what I mean, and you'll be able to fix anything. Buy my book and you'll be smarter than the average bear. Sorry. Shows my age right there. Right? If you study hard enough, you're going to really succeed in life. But it says right here, it says, God gave them the learning and skill in all literature. And, now here's the and that's really, really interesting. Notice that the learning and skill had to do with writing, and it had to do with the wisdom. All right? Writing and wisdom. So writing is very, very important in the kingdom. And wisdom is very, very important. The pen is mightier than the sword. God is, I mean, there's just an amazing thread in Scripture about the ability to write and wisdom in writing. And that flows, by the way, through Daniel. I would like you to see Daniel as a book of wisdom and not a book of all the big beasts and all the crazy things that happen in prophecy. Because most people teach Daniel that way. And it ain't right. It is not a movie with King Kong in it. It is not about, what's the other beast that destroys things? With Godzilla. It is not a Godzilla movie. Even there's some pretty amazing creatures in there. Daniel is all about wisdom. And when you see the wisdom that they had, you will see a dimension of wisdom that has not been mentioned. Amen. Look at the wisdom that Daniel had. Somebody read it. Marianne. That's what we've been talking about up till now.
And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams.
That's a dimension of wisdom that's off the radar of the world. It's just not there. He tried. Isn't that amazing? Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Acts chapter 2, quoting Joel 2. For I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men will see. You didn't say it loud enough. And your young men will see. And your old men will dream. So the ability to have visions and dreams is because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's a prophetic expression. It is not. So prophetic wisdom is the ability by the Holy Spirit to see visions and have dreams. And because of it, have wisdom that will change your life and will cause you to overcome all the power of the enemy. And you'll end up beating a much smarter enemy in the world. He'll be smarter than you in the world. He may have an IQ much higher than yours. And he may have more money than you. And he may have more strength than you. But you have God. You've got the Lord. And so you'll have something that he can't stop. He can't stop it. Because of vision and a dream. Give you an example. Herod, a very powerful man, wasn't he? The Christmas story. A very powerful man. Had control and the Roman plus his own army. And they went and searched and killed every single child that was in the age range of Jesus. But Jesus wasn't killed because Joseph had a dream. So here was a man with a great army. Smart man, Herod. Cunning. Don't ever play poker with Herod. You get whooped. But the dream saved Jesus' life. And isn't it interesting that Joseph in Genesis had a dream and interpreted a dream. And Jesus' daddy, Joseph, had dreams to direct him in the Messiah. Isn't that interesting? If you name the name of Joseph from Pastor John's mouth, the first thing you need to think of is Joseph dreamed.
Amen.
That's bigger than anything else he did. It was the dream that got him in trouble. But it was also the dream that got him out of prison. Come on now. It was his dream that got him thrown into slavery. He got thrown into the pit by the dream. And then it was interpreting the dream that got him out.
Yes.
And put him up from the pit to the palace.
Amen.
Dreaming. And that aspect of dreaming is not from the world. Now, there are people in the world that will, interpret your dreams and, people have all these visions and stuff like that. Come on. We know that. False spirits. False teachings. They will claim to have this, but this is something that God does. And this is something is for his people. And I love it because, I have seen my life changed as a result of dreams. Changed. And God gave me wisdom that I did not have up here. Because of dreams the Lord gave me.
Amen.
And visions the Lord gave me. He gave me stuff. I can give you stories, but I'm not going to give you a lot of stories. Okay, now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, so Acts 2:17 is your young men shall have visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And we're going to tackle Acts 1 Corinthians 12, and then we're going to let you go. 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, 1 Corinthians. I criticize you if you don't, all right? All right. Yeah, I don't care how you say it. Just get me there. Okay. All right, now, let's see here if I have it on a click. No, I'm going to have to punch it in. All right, now, how many of you have heard of the expression, the nine gifts of the Spirit? Have heard of that? 1 Corinthians 12, if someone asked you, what are the nine gifts of the Spirit? You would say, oh, yeah, yeah, 1 Corinthians 12. That's where we have the nine gifts of the Spirit. Well, I feel, I'm going to tell you this. This is very interesting. I got saved when I was 17 years old. Okay? And I was raised in the church. But then I jumped into this world of intense Bible teaching. Just intense Bible teaching. 4 years before, I spent 4 years, and then we moved right down to Martinsville, right after graduation, just about. Got married, came here. And the word of the Lord was rich here. Just rich here in Martinsville. It was rich up where we were in Jersey. It was amazing. Amazing Bible teachers. And I can just name them down the list. Derek Prince, Bob, I mean, all these amazing Bible teachers. Dave Hunt. I mean, we had amazing teaching here. Amazing teaching. Now, and I remember Bert, I'm going to tell you all kinds of names. Bert Dearden, I mean, David Miner. I mean, I was just, all the people that came here, all the teaching here. We have got a tape library. Janine knows, she knows every one of them. We've got incredible, we kept all of these messages because the teaching was so good. But I was a youngster then. And I believe that when you first come into the things of the Lord, you're kind of at the mercy of the people who are teaching you because you really don't know any better. Right? So I was raised in church, but I didn't have a lot of word in me. And so I just was sitting under these great teachers. Some I'd listen to tapes, some I'd watch. I didn't watch a lot of Christian TV. Some I heard on the radio. And I would receive their teaching, but I didn't really have, I had my own spirit, the Holy Spirit within me as kind of a grid, and I would just instantly jumped into reading the Bible. I mean, my mom thought I was crazy because I started reading my Bible every day for hours, hours and hours and hours. And she was so worried that she called her dad and she thought, John's really like reading the Bible a lot. And he was the one who was a preacher's kid, so my grandpa was a preacher's kid. And she called him and she said, and he didn't preach. He wasn't a preacher. And she said, is he okay? And then he said to her, don't worry. The Bible I read was given to me by him. He said, don't worry, he's okay. Just let him go. That was my grandpa said that. Grandpa McNary. Anyway,